Morning.
Good morning.
It's always so good to be here and see all your faces again. Happy Palm Sunday.
Happy Palm Sunday.
I saw Lee yesterday at Cape Albion where we were. She was getting set up for today, and she had all these palm leaves, and I thought, I didn't think of that. So next year I won't wait until Sunday or the day before. Anyway, great idea. Happy Palm Sunday. We are a week away from, in my opinion, the most important Christian holiday, Easter.
Yeah.
We celebrate the resurrection, the overcoming that Jesus did and had. It also marks the beginning of what we call Holy Week. And this is the last week of Lent. So, Lent. We have this little booklet that I've been using for this, and it's called 40 Days of Letting Go. Lent is the time of preparation. It prepares us for both the celebration of Easter, this overcoming that Jesus did, and the beginning of Christianity. I mean, that's a big deal. It's also the time of preparing for, as Alan was talking about, just that recognition of who and what we truly are, that allowing our Christ presence to shine through, to express the truth of who we are. So this little booklet, I think it's really good. It says 40 days of letting go. As I was a kid growing up, you know, it was always, Fridays were always non-meat days in cafeteria. There's traditional religions especially seem to focus on giving something up. And I think, I kind of made this up on my own, but I probably read in I don't even know where this stuff comes from anymore. I've been around so long. At any rate, what I came up with was, I think that giving up, it is intended for us to be, for that to be a reminder of what Jesus gave up, sacrificed his life, you know, for humankind. That, again, I kind of made that up. So that's giving something up. Unity looks at this a little differently, letting go, and that's very different. It's a different mindset. Giving up is, letting go is. If we tried to pour something into a glass that was already full, it would run over, it would go out. So our good cannot come to us, through us, if we are full of anything, really. I mean, even other good things. But if we are especially full of beliefs and thoughts, negative thoughts, our good can't come to us. So it really is in our best interest to let go, to find and let go of those things that are blocking our true and full expression, as best we can, of our Christ selves. So, in the process of, I love the whole Easter story, the Holy Week, I love it. It's so full of passion, and as I went through this morning, I found myself tearing up yet again. You know, for it is just such an amazing week, integrating that with this idea of letting go. And here's what I came up with in this process of, this is what came up for me. This has been a challenging couple weeks for me. Anybody else? Okay, makes me feel a little bit better. There was a young man who came up to me last night at work, and he said, I've just been grouchy, you know, all week. He said, this is my birthday weekend. And he went into his story, and he's got a sad story. I mean, he's got weights on him. And I just listened, you know, that's what I can do, you know, lovingly listen. I heard him. My son is angry with me right now. it just seems like every time I turn around, there was somebody that was not happy, or there was some personnel personnel change at work where that ruffled some feathers. Mm-hmm. So it's been an interesting time. What is going on with me? As I went through material research, you know, trying for this talk, and from the book by Ernest Wilson, The Week That Changed the World. It's a powerful book. I would recommend it to anyone who really wants to get into the 40 days of Lent and what it all symbolizes. The week. It's all the 40-something things, activities that happen during the whole week. It's amazing. So, I found myself, as I read that, as I went through this, as I thought about the activities that Jesus did during Holy Week, I found myself thinking about the emotions, the feelings that Jesus might have had. It's kind of new for me. He had some things to, and I think I got this from Ernest Wilson, he had some things to surrender also. He had anger. He had, I think, some fear, sadness. We saw the shortest verse in the New Testament, Jesus wept. So all of those things. So I thought, well, let me get to see if I can get these things together and see what happens. So here's what we did. And I want to tell you, I've been trying to do this talk, write this talk, since Friday in seriousness. Wouldn't come. Saturday morning, wouldn't come. Saturday night, last night at work, still wouldn't come. Okay, and it came this morning. So God's good. I'm a little relieved. It was kind of on the end of all these little challenges, you know. But at any rate, let's start with the story, the background, and we all know this, but touching again on what was leading up to Holy Week. We know that Jesus and the disciples planned to go to Jerusalem for Passover. This is an annual tradition. This is what Jesus did. It was expected. However, Jesus had been making a name for himself as he went about teaching and healing and all that sort of thing. And so there were some folks that were not very happy. The Roman Empire, when they started hearing people referring to Jesus as the King of Israel, the King of the Jews, you don't say someone else is a king to a Roman, you know, like, no, we have emperors, we, you know, this is not about kings. So they were not happy. Then the Jewish leaders were not happy either. They thought that whatever Jesus was doing was not right. Okay, so the Jewish leaders, am I on?
Can we hear?
Okay. Didn't like him either, and they began plotting for his death. So this was clearly a dangerous time for Jesus to be thinking about going into Jerusalem. But he did. One of the things that Ernest Wilson said in there that I think makes a whole lot of sense and gives some meaning to why this happened. We knew that Jesus said it was a part of. Is this on?
Yeah. It needs to be louder.
We're louder though.
Testing. Can you hear back there?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
all right. We're good. Thank
yeah,
you.
That's it.
I have heard and read that it was according to Scripture to fulfill Scripture. But Ernest Wilson points something out. He said that Jesus realized that people weren't getting it. They weren't getting his message. They weren't getting that we too can do these things. Mm-hmm. Scripture had records Jesus as saying, "These things will you do, and greater works than these will you do." So when when he realized, not even his disciples really understood why he was here. He knew that he had to leave so people could and would step up to finding him. These are, you know, these words, my words, step up and find that divinity within themselves, and then go and do the works that they decide to do. So, very different approach, but powerful. That was the background. So then Palm Sunday, we know that story, the triumphant entry. Jesus had the disciples go find a donkey, and people threw down the palms so that they could ride in. They were thinking that here's our warrior king. And Jesus knew, nope, that's not me. That's not what I'm doing. And so he came in on a donkey. You know, this was not the warrior image that one would expect. So he came in differently. When he was there that week, he did some what I call mighty works. He was powerful. This was not a man who was retiring into the background so that he wouldn't be detected, he wouldn't be found. He was doing it. He was up in their faces. He threw out the traders, the vendors who were selling, you know, sacrifices and whatever. He threw them out. He overturned the tables of the money changers, and perhaps some anger there. You know, that's one of those human things that I picked up on. He upset the Jewish leaders, of course, you know, doing all that. He was healing. He was not adhering to the rules of Jewish law at that time. He did things on the Sabbath. I think he ate and fed the disciples and healed people and teaching. He did all of those things. And that's when it says that the Jewish leaders began to actively plot for him to be removed or killed. I think I counted at one point, 30-something times he rebuked the Jewish leaders, saying, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees." So he went through this week and he was doing all these things, and then we get to Thursday, and that is the Last Supper. This was the betrayal. This is when Judas had agreed to accept 30 pieces of silver for letting the soldiers know which one was Jesus. So the betrayal. Jesus mentioned it, not by name, but he mentioned it at the Lord's Supper, that one of you will do this. And the others, oh no, that couldn't be. But it was. He washed the feet of the disciples, and he was teaching them that, you know, when he said, you can go out and do this too. There's, you know, no one is above the other. The meal itself was a way of teaching that he's, this is Sharon's view, a way of showing, I'm never going to, you know, I will always be around. This is my body, which is broken for you, bread. This is my blood, which is spilled for you. I'm paraphrasing greatly here. All of those things, do this in remembrance of me. A way to always bring back and remember. He's not really going. After the Lord's Supper, then he went to the Garden of Gethsemane. Pray. Here we hear that he was afraid. He was worried, concerned about what was going to happen. He said, paraphrasing, would that this cup be taken from me, but not thy will, but my will. No, sorry, not my will, but thy will be done. He asked the disciples to sit up with him while he prayed, and they kept going to sleep. So he was by himself, but he was surrendering. He was letting go of his fear, letting go of his earthly desire to perhaps stay around. He was surrendering. And then the soldiers came, he was identified, and he was arrested. Good Friday. This is the day of the trial and the sentencing of Jesus to death by crucifixion. One of my favorite songs, as you probably know, is The Lord of the Dance, because it's talking about part of, I mean, this whole thing, starting with Good Friday. It is commonly just such a sad day because of the death, the type of death, and all of that. A couple things stand out from that day, is his forgiveness. He had surrendered. This is what he was doing. He said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And then when death was near, then he said, "Into thy hands I commend my spirit." There was never any blame, criticism, "Why poor me?" None of that. He let go, and he surrendered to the process. I believe, and it is written in Scripture, I believe that he knew that he was going to rise. He told the disciples, "In 3 days I will rise again." And so he knew that. He told them, but I don't know that they believed that. That would be hard to believe. So Holy Week is a story, it's full of passion and tragedy and injustice, as well as overcoming, triumph, and new life, whole new way of being. When we think about our lives and the challenges and the things that irritate us and make us sad, any of those kinds of things, we can follow the example, the model, the teachings of Jesus to help us look past what's happening in the earthly world and get to that place of peace, that oneness. As we do that, we get to choose to raise our own expression, to be like that, to express our inner Christ. Okay, so that's kind of the story with some of the emotions. Then the booklet. I found it to be actually really good. What I love about it is, one of the most important things is, we are always saying, you know, eliminating limiting beliefs, we're, you know, negativity. But this is precise. The 40 days of letting go, and there are precise words: anxiety, anger, competitiveness, chaos. I mean, it just goes through, it's got all kinds of words, specific words. I think sometimes it's difficult for us to recognize these limiting beliefs, these old ideas, error thinking, we call it, because we have thought it so long, it has become truth for us. And so this was helpful for me to be able to look at these words and poke around a little bit and go, yeah, one of them was resentment, and I could feel the emotion. I thought, yep, there's some there. So this was really good. I probably will hold on to this so that I can look specifically for things. So the first, each of the weeks has a day. It's on the Sunday, and there's just a short little writing. Reverend Kirk Condra wrote the one for today, and I know him. He was my best friend Donna. If some of you know who I'm talking about, they were in the same class, and I knew Kirk. He was a minister down in Texas when I was down there. Wonderful guy. Anyway, he wrote it. This isn't very long, so I'm going to share a good amount of it. Greeted by adoring throngs, spreading cloaks and branches before him, Jesus must have understood the crowd's jubilation was fleeting. He knew that he would not fulfill their expectation that Rome would be defeated. He knew his purpose was a greater one, to reveal that God's kingdom transcends all earthly reality, even death. like palm fronds thrown before Jesus on the road, each time we release a limiting belief, pattern, or behavior, we pave the way for the divine to enter our consciousness and free spirit to work in our lives. But here's the thing. Raising consciousness is an evolutionary process. Releasing negativity is not a one and done. As long as we're traveling this material plane, the world will provide palm fronds to light before truth. Truth with a capital T. The good news. Each branch we cast brings us into more perfect alignment with the divine. And we grow in love and compassion for ourselves and others. Preparing the way. The affirmation I love he used for this, he says, I pave the way for truth by letting go of limiting thoughts. The week behind, you know, during, according to the booklet, the week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, is I let go of sorrow, stress, and struggle. We all have sorrow from, you know, at one time or another. Stress is pretty rampant these days, it seems like, and we're struggling. People are struggling for one reason or another. What they say in here is, as we are doing this, we don't pretend like it's not there, we don't stick our heads in the sand, we are with it for a while, but what we want to do is to use prayer and meditation to pull ourselves above the worldly things, to see and align with the divinity within, and we can release and let go. When we do that, because when you release something, you need to fill it with something else. And so as we do that, then we are interested in receiving relief and strength and peace and love. And Jesus did that in his experiences. The next day, Monday, Thursday, according to the writing in here, sets a positive expectation. For me anyway, often I would think about the betrayal and the sacrifice kind of view of communion, which is not. What if it was just a way of saying, I'm always around, you know, let this be a reminder. There's a pretty cool scripture for that one, which is, do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid. Good one. The affirmation is, this Monday, Thursday, I let go of worry. Then Good Friday. Often this day is just dark and heavy and sad. It says here, on the cross, Jesus cried out to God in his final act of letting go. But even as Jesus released his life, he trusted a greater truth. He could never be apart from God. With God, it's never really the end. And affirmation is, in acceptance and trust, I practice spiritual surrender. I read that one to myself several times. I'll read it again. In acceptance and trust, I practice spiritual surrender. Holy Saturday, he calls Saturday, or they call Saturday, Holy Saturday. It is that time of the void. You know, he died. People are crying. They're sad. He's gone. They know what he said, but he's in a cave. They put him in a cave. They saw that. It's that time of void. It's the void. It's between the day he died and then he rose again. But in that middle time, it is the void. Robert Brummett from Unity has Finding Yourself in Transition, and his transition is the beginning, the void, and the new beginning, or the ending, the void, and the new beginning. And the void can be all kinds of things. It can take as long as it needs to take. It's a good time. We need to honor whatever's happening in us and for us and with us in that void. It's a significant event or loss. We pause, we let go. There's an affirmation for that one. I let go and look ahead with hope. I think sometimes in our sadness and the challenges that come up, one of the hardest things to do is to find hope. But hope is critical for having the motivation, the inspiration, the movement to move forward. We need hope. I let go and look ahead with hope. And then there is Easter. There is triumph. There is overcoming. But Saturday is really the end of Holy Week. And Sunday is the new beginning. Jesus' messages for us are of hope, of strength, of love, and of joy. This story and its examples of Jesus' surrender and deep trust and love allow us to apply those same practices, the same ways of being tools, if you will, of living and expressing as best we can in the world. So we can raise our vision. When we're in the midst of one of those challenges, it can be pretty bleak, and it is difficult to look out, to look past the appearances. We teach that in our prayer chaplain training, to look past appearances. In these kinds of situations, if we can just remember to look up, raise our vision to the Christ vision, and look past what seems to be happening, find that place within, that place of love, that place of joy, a place of peace. And as we do so, the world goes on around us, but we move through it with the guidance and direction and love of God with us. And I'm reminded of the scripture that says, with God, all things are possible. I believe that to be true. We've been talking a lot about Jesus' life and so forth. Let's use the Lord's Prayer to move us from here, this place, to into a meditative state. So if we can together join. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen.
Yeah.
And so I invite you to close your outer eyes, to move your attention and your energy within, finding that space once again, that space of presence with a capital P. We adopt a listening, open, willing way of being. I sit as we sit quietly. We let our minds let go. We relax consciously and purposely, relax our bodies, bringing us to that beautiful place of stillness, that beautiful place of receptivity, that beautiful place of oneness. We come together on this day of Lent, 1 week before Easter. We come together seemingly with outer concerns and then the lesson that's going to be talked about. But here and today we integrate those. We know that Jesus was our master teacher, was our way shower. And so when we encounter challenging experiences, when we are stressed and we struggle, when we are full of sorrow, we have the teaching, we have the tools to change our thinking, to shift our awareness, our consciousness. So here and now, we reside, we allow ourselves to just rest in this space of possibility, in this space of the promise of new beginnings, in this space of surrender. We come into this time, in this space, open-minded, willing, open-hearted, trusting. God is my help in every need. We bring that truth to bear in all times and in all situations. And as we've just read, even in the darkest times when it seems like all is lost, God is never finished. God is always present. So we take just a few moments now in this blessed, sacred silence, knowing that we are one with every person in this room, knowing that we are one with this Christ, with Spirit, in this space of silence, we are renewed, we are energized, and we are full of love and peace in silence. We do celebrate We celebrate this opportunity to come together with like minds and loving hearts. We celebrate the awareness, recognition, and acknowledgement of the truth and the power that lies within each one of us. We celebrate by saying, Hosanna, praise be to God, because God is our help in every need. And so in all times, all challenges, we have all we need. We are grateful. We celebrate and we say thank you. Thank you. Thank you, God. And so it is. Amen.